This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning, folks. There is a heavy agenda this week at the state legislature. A number of bills addressing the insurance crisis that we've been experiencing in the state of Louisiana for some period of time. And joining us is Clancy Dubose, political editor and columnist for Gambit and WWL, Louisiana political analyst, joins us to talk about same. Clancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Good to be with you again.
Clancy, you've opined many times about where we find ourselves relative to this insurance crisis and some of the remedial legislation that's put into place. What has happened thus far, and has this changed any of your thinking as to the path that we're headed down?
Well, you know, every governor and every legislature attempts to put its mark on this problem. It's been a problem for a while, as you know. We've had among the nation's highest auto insurance rates for decades. And the two sides being plaintiff attorneys who they get labeled as trial lawyers or, you know, they're really defense lawyers are also trial lawyers because they try cases. Okay, so but the people generically referred to as trial lawyers, which are people who represent people injured in accidents on one side, and then the other side is insurance companies. You know, it's in various times we've had legislatures that and governors who sided with the attorneys and the plaintiffs, people injured, and they've had people side with the insurance companies. And also stuck in the middle are everybody in Louisiana who, you know, nobody wants to see themselves get injured and not get, you know, remunerated for their injuries or their property and personal, you know, injuries and pain that they've suffered. But at the same time, nobody wants to pay sky high insurance rates. So it's a tough balance to try to achieve. Other states managed to do it, but somehow that has escaped Louisiana. And you know what's happening now is the governor, you know, the governor and the legislature are all, we have a 2/3 supermajority of Republican conservatives in the legislature, and we have a conservative Republican governor, and we have a conservative Republican commissioner of insurance. And yet, for some reason, they can't seem to agree on what the solution is. The governor, Governor Landry, is, you know, anxious to see Louisiana adopt what's called tort reform, which is a term coined by insurance companies. It's adjusting the laws that govern how much people can sue for, how much they can recover in a lawsuit, everything from the procedural stuff like how what's the deadline for filing a lawsuit to what can be admitted as evidence to what cannot be admitted as evidence and who you can sue, whether you can sue the insurance companies directly or not, and how much you get for pain and suffering, how much you can collect for medicals. It's very technical and very detail-oriented, but all of it, you know, you and I like to say, Newell, that there's no such thing as an unimportant election. I think we could also agree that there's no detail involving litigation rules, especially when it comes to plaintiff claims for auto accidents that is insignificant. Every little word in those laws means a great deal. And so they fight over these things constantly. And you're right, I've covered this thing since the 80s at least, and it's they never seem to solve it. They keep passing, quote, tort reform in one form or another, but the rates keep going up. So what's happening right now is the governor, although he, you know, styles himself, rightly so in many ways, as a pro-business governor, he sides with the trial lawyers, the plaintiff lawyers, on a lot of issues like this. He points the finger at insurance companies and says they're the ones to blame. They're greedy, the profits are too high, et cetera, and which is what the lawyers say. And then Tim Temple, our insurance commissioner, says, no, we need to bring our rules for governing lawsuits for personal injuries into line with those of other states. And it's really interesting to watch, because among the things that the governor is pushing is a bill that would allow the commissioner of insurance basically to be a one person, one man or one woman setter of insurance rates. And Temple, I think, rightly says, look, that opens the door to all kinds of corruption. Not that he intends to be corrupt, but we had three insurance commissioners in a row go to jail for corruption when the insurance commissioner had more power. So that's something to think about. And but it also puts the hat on, metaphorically, it puts the hat or puts the commissioner under the gun. So if the rates go up, the governor can point to the commissioner and say, see, it's his fault. There was an editorial cartoon in the paper yesterday, I think, or the day before, by Walt Handelsman to that effect. So, and the governor and Mr. Temple have conflicting legislative packages, and they're going to be working their way through in one form or another. The legislature, and just to put a final, couple of details in this landscape here, the legislature, although it is more than two thirds Republican and conservative in each chamber, the House and Senate, a lot of the Republicans or a number of the Republicans are trial lawyers themselves. So it's not a bright line, you know, Republican, conservative, pro-business, pro-insurance company. It's not like that. It's a complex amalgam of interests and opinions and attitudes and suspicions and blaming all going on at one time. I hope that makes sense.
No doubt. I mean, my big issue with House Bill 576, which is kind of the crux of this ideological warfare that's going on between the insurance commissioner and the governor, is I think you would agree, anytime you have expansive discretionary authority, there's a fine line between that and being arbitrary, right? When you some objective criteria by which to judge something by. Insurance companies are into business to make money. I mean, that's, we all know that. I mean, we have to come to grips with that. How much? That's an argument for another day. But that leads to what the matrix or whatever would be utilized to decide whether or not they're entitled to one or not. In this state, you don't have a choice. You're supposed to have insurance.
Right. And that's a good thing. We should have, it's
sure.
Driving, as we both can agree on, we agree on almost everything. But I mean, driving, this is not really an opinion. It's a fact. Driving is a privilege. It's not a right. So you have to, earn the privilege, right? You have to qualify. And because it's a privilege, I think the state rightly, and I think most states rightly, require people to have insurance.
The one thing that I always wonder.
Pay for it.
the one criteria that I always look at, I hear about all these other states,
out for a second. I don't know if it's my connection or yours, but
What I was saying is we all hear the same rhetoric. I look at other states and I try to draw a direct line from the passage of legislation to reduce insurance rates. But what I find there when folks are holding them up as an example of this expansive discretionary authority. It's not as expansive as we really believe, because most of the insurance companies fall on the side of some matrix that they look at. You know, the loss runs, right, loss ratios, things of that nature, that is objective in nature in making that decision. But what what I've never seen a study on, and I'm curious whether you have, because you've been covering this a long time. Louisiana has a large portion of its population medically uninsured, 30% Medicaid recipients.
Right.
You know, and the other day they were saying that where we are an outlier are small claims, bodily injury claims. And I'm wondering if that's driven by they have no medical coverage. So they almost have to go to court, you know, to get whatever their injury may be. And, you know, and because health insurance usually have the right to subrogation, they end up subrogating in that claim if you have it. But if you don't have it, where do you go? What do you do?
Kind of curious if there's
a connection.
Well, it might be. Medicaid is a form of insurance.
Yes, it is.
And Medicaid, I think, does have. I mean, Charity Hospital used to have, you know, one of the things that an attorney general could do is appoint a lawyer for Charity Hospital to go
exercise subrogation.
Subrogation, which is the right to collect back, basically, for the non-lawyers out there. But I think the fact that we have a large poor population, and over time, lawsuits have been seen as a way that if a poor person gets injured, well, that's one way to collect for pain and suffering and collect a big check. It's, you know, I hate to say it, people say, you know, hit the lottery. But, you know, when I practiced law, I did some plaintiff law, not big time stuff, but I always told my clients, the last thing you want is a $1 million claim, because to get that, you got to be in a wheelchair, you know. So, but there are lawyers out there, unfortunately, and I think there's blame to go around, by the way. But there are lawyers out there who talk about, I can get you more money, and I wouldn't want to have a $1 million claim. I really wouldn't.
No,
you know. So, but people. You know, but I had clients who were like, you know, who genuinely were suffering and were in pain. And every lawyer who does plaintiff work has encountered that. So it's, again, it's a very difficult balance. I wish I knew the answer to it. And I've not looked painstakingly at other states like you have. So I'm really curious as to what you found. You know, like I said, I think it's an interesting observation. I think it's partly uninsured or traditionally uninsured, and partly what I talked about in terms of having a large, and we're not talking about different things, a large pool of poor people in Louisiana this is something that's measurable. People who are poor probably tend to get in more accidents, whether it's at work or in cars or whatever. It's just a natural. It's not putting blame on them that they're not necessarily at fault, but they tend to have to be in situations where accidents might occur. You know, riding as a passenger with somebody else who may or may not be a good driver, or may or may not have adequate insurance, and are encountering bad roads and things like that. You know, so there's all kinds of reasons for it. There is no. The one thing I think we can all agree on, and we should all agree on, is that there is no magic silver bullet out there. You do this and it's going to get better. It's just not that way. It's very complicated.
Well, let's look at this from a political perspective, because I made the observation, I think you have as well. The governor's really taken this and put it squarely on his shoulders, this issue. It's one that I don't think, if you did everything, let's assume that your whatever legislation is there, it's all the right legislation at the right time. My thought is that you may not see results for 2, 3, 4 years, maybe.
Right.
You know, and politically, that's a lifetime.
It is. And that's part of the problem, I suspect, because by the time you might begin to see some positive stuff going on, you get a new legislature and possibly a new governor in there, and they want to change it. And then sometimes the lawyers or the for both sides will try to get the courts to interpret that new law a certain way. And, you know, and the laws are not always, you know, it's the result of the legislative process, which is often compared to sausage making. It comes in one way and it comes out another way. And there might be vagueness in the law or definitions that, you know, are hard to interpret, you know, for judges. So it's very difficult to achieve, but you're right. It takes time. If you really want to see if something's going to work, I think you got to give it at least 5 years to really see measurable results.
So I'm applauding for the willingness to consume the political capital, because that's exactly what he's doing. Because I think the delta between now and then, if you see any benefit from this, is incredibly wide, in my view.
I agree. I totally agree. It's just, I wish I had the answer. I mean, I really do.
Yeah, no, don't we all? Let me ask you this, Clancy. This issue, in my mind, is kind of overshadowing the fiscal posture of the state of Louisiana right now. I think this is a fiscal session, right? Not much chatter about what's going on, about where we find ourselves monetarily in this state from a budget perspective.
Yeah, and also, let's before we leave the idea of insurance, I did a commentary on Channel 4 not long ago where I said, you know, auto insurance rates are high, but let's not lose sight of property insurance rates, because they are high too. And it's overshadowing that. It's even overshadowing part of the insurance discussion. It's all about auto, because everybody gets a bill. Every adult with a driver's license gets a bill for auto insurance. Not everybody owns property. And yet, even those who are renters wind up in many cases paying the cost of property insurance because they pay it through higher rents. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. But I think you're right. It is, for now, overshadowing the fiscal challenges that I'm not going to call it a crisis. We're not facing a cliff. But, you know, the failure of proposed Amendment 2 on March 29th puts the state, in a different situation than the governor and many legislators were hoping it would be in or expecting it would be in. And there are some real challenges there. You know, teachers want to get a raise. The governor, you know, and the legislature have a lot of work to do on that. And, you know, that always comes down to the last day or two, as you know.
I suspect they'll find the money for the stipend.
They should.
How they treat that to be interesting is to if they make it permanent or it's just another year of another stipend.
Yeah, because when it's a stipend, it doesn't count towards their retirement. That's something teachers are feeling, you know. And I think there seems to be a move. Correct me if I'm wrong, Newell. I'm not sure if the governor put that money, whether it's permanent or temporary, into his proposed budget. But I know I get the sense that the legislature really wants to do that, because teachers went to bat for Amendment 2. They pushed for it. They worked for it. And, you know, I think they're owed this, if nothing else. We're talking about the politics of it. They're owed it for what they do in the course of being educators. But politically, they're also owed it. I think most legislators, or many legislators, feel that way.
I don't think it was in the original draft of his budget.
I agree. That's my perception of it.
It may be there now. It may have shifted. Yeah. I don't know. But it wasn't what he had originally proposed, which I think that budget, as you've pointed out before, had a lot to do with the assumption that Proposition 2 was going to pass.
And
when it didn't pass, I don't know that there was a lot of time to go modifying everything that they had already done.
Yeah, but that's what it's not like this is a brand new thing either. I mean, this happens all the time. Budgets get proposed and the legislature ultimately decides. I'm thinking that I really believe they're going to get this done. They're going to find a way to make sure that the legislature, that the teachers get their money.
Cameron Henry said to me in an interview that it is all but done. So that means he's already taken. He's already figured out where the votes are and where they're not. Right.
Right. And Cameron Henry, of course, is from Jefferson Parish. He's the president of the Senate, and he and other senators have really been kind of the voices of reason. Not that others are unreasonable, but they've been they've been the beacon of hope for a lot of people, for moderation, and I say that as a compliment. Some people think moderation is a sign of weakness. I think it's a sign of strength.
It's a sign of strength, no doubt.
They've stood strong for doing what they think is right and looking at the long term, not the immediate, what's right in front of them.
Absolutely. Well, as always, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We truly appreciate it, your insight and your time, and have a great week.
Thank you, Neil. You too. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Clancy Dubose, political editor and columnist for Gambit and WWL Louisiana, political analyst as well. We will be right back with Jeff Nowak. We'll do a little Saints draft recap. Stay with us.